as we get into Psalm 4, we're going to start by watching a short video. When you watch that, do you find yourself looking at the ones that you think are about to stop and be like, it's not a restful thing. But I share that because I think a lot of us can identify with the chaos of that, of trying to keep things going and just waiting for things to crash. In our world, how are you doing? Busy. Seems to almost be like used as a badge of honor. But the chaos we experience, I think, transcends just the busyness and the plates spinning. There's constant pulls for our attention and our emotions. It's like every time you see something online, it's like the number of things we're told we're supposed to care deeply about. It's impossible for us to care deeply about all of the things we're told we're supposed to care deeply about. Like this constant pull and tension. And then there's like grief and struggles, reactions and judgments. There's fears, there's ethical questions, there's relational breakdown. And that's not even talking about upcoming Christmas dinners that you have to plan for and plan the conversation for. And I don't know if maybe I'm the only one who you're sitting there thinking, I hope that topic doesn't come up around the table. But even that, it's a worry before it even happens. It's a plate that's spinning before the plate's actually even set, right? We're turned in so many different directions. We can identify with the chaos of this guy who's just got to run back and forth to try and keep things going. And maybe part of the problem is some stuff's already crashed, and so now you're trying to clean up some of the mess while keeping other stuff going on. In Psalm 4, the writer seems to be in this kind of place, this kind of state. The writer is moving between addressing different kinds of people all within the same short psalm. He addresses God. He addresses these people who are attacking him. He turns and he's addressing those he wants to teach wisdom to. It might be that those he's trying to remind of some wisdom are actually, it could be self-talk, being like, okay, remember these things. Like, we don't know for sure. But then he turns back to God with a different posture. Then he's talking to himself again. Like, it's just like he's turning and running and spinning. He's struggling with questions of guilt. He's imprisoned by troubles. There's attacks on his character that are rooted in lies. There's people he's trying to teach, and he's trying to remind himself how to respond properly. There's questions about where hope can be found. There's a ton going on so many levels that I think so many of us can relate to. So let me read it. And as I read it, try and turn in your head a little bit in a different direction every time the psalmist is turning in a different direction to address something else. This is a psalm for the choir director, a psalm of David, to be accompanied by stringed instruments. Answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Change of direction. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make groundless accusations? How long will you continue your lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Change of directions. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust the Lord. Change of directions. Many people say, who will show us better times? Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. Change of directions. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Again, the psalmist is seems like he's turning and spinning with so much going on, crying out to God for justice, calling at, like yelling at those who are attacking him, saying, like, please stop, what's wrong with you? You know, like He's talking to, again, it could be students, it could be talk to himself about assurance and wisdom, talking to God with hope and reminders of what God has done in the past. And then finally, to himself in connection with God, to talk about peace and rest, which is the part that blows me away, because up until that last verse, there isn't a ton of peace and rest going on in this psalm. So how does he get to, in peace I will lie down and rest in all this chaos? Let me suggest one simple thing, and I'm not going to be long today. The psalmist is bringing all of these directions and postures to God. He's taking all the stuff that he's thinking and feeling, the stuff that's addressed to God, the stuff that's addressed to other people, he's taking all of that and he's laying it at God's feet. He's taking all of the chaos of his day and letting it out at the God who can take it. As I was reflecting on this psalm, thinking about this perspective, how does he get to that place of peace at the end? I couldn't help but think about Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It's at the end of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, and Paul concludes, he's got a bunch of different pieces of advice for those in the church. And in the midst of that advice, he says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." This is really practical advice for those who want peace in the chaos. And it's advice that parallels what we see the psalmist doing in Psalm chapter 4. This is really the psalmist modeling something that Paul picks up and says, okay, do this, guys, in Philippians. Here's this practical advice laid out. Don't worry. Don't stew and ruminate and stress about this stuff. Another way to put it is don't let these things become your preoccupation. It's not that you don't think about it. It's not that you ignore them. But don't let them become your preoccupation where that is all-consuming to you. Easily said. Harder to do. Because one of the things you said last week, if you don't let it out, it's still in there. So what do to get it out? The psalmist models it. Paul advises it. Instead of letting it be your preoccupation, engage God with it. Let it out to God. And we see this again with what the psalmist is doing. He starts by expressing what he needs. There's this desperate cry, God, answer me. I need you to hear me. Expresses what he needs. There's questions that maybe we want to send in that email, but we know it's not going to make things better if we actually go after the person that's attacking us. So maybe let God hear it. God can take it. Let it out at God. Questions that might be aimed at others, but when they're expressed at God, they let it get out of us without inflating or escalating the conflict. Express what you need, the reminders of wisdom and truth. Think through, okay, what is the best things I should do here? If I'm able to move past, here's what I really like. Okay, God, I need you to hear me, and you people, I need you to hear this. That getting that out creates space for us to reflect on what is actually wise and true in this moment. In the psalm, that's where he gets to, you can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Okay, that's what's true. This is what's true in this moment. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Okay, this is the wise advice I need to remember in here. I don't need to send that message right now. I don't need to react to that text right now. I don't need to, okay, Offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust in the Lord. Find space for that wisdom and truth to get into us. Engage God then with thankfulness for what God has done. It keeps going by rehearsing what God has done. Many people say, who has shown us better times? Let your face smile on us, O Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. This is really just rehearsing. Okay, God's done this before. Whew, I can hold on to that. Rehearse that. And then as you move through that, there's this sense of weight being off as it's placed onto and left with God. And it's only at that point, when it's all been pushed out, that the psalmist can say, in peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you, O Lord, will keep me safe. The peace doesn't come because the problems are gone or the work is done. The peace comes as a gift from God, as something to guard our hearts and minds, to use the language from Philippians. And there's a real part of this that doesn't make sense. That's why it's called peace that exceeds anything we can understand. But it comes as we let, not the reality of this stuff, but the reality of us trying to hold on to it and set it in God's hands, at least for a night. And from that place, we find that, again, it doesn't come because we've gotten rid of our enemies or solved all of our problems. It comes as a gift from God. More challenges, more problems, more opponents will almost certainly arise. But as the psalmist says, you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Do you remember that thing that happened a couple of years ago, the pandemic? Anybody remember that? Some of us, it's all kind of a blur. There was a time during that I was absolutely overwhelmed. I think most of us went through those seasons. Those who were trying to lead and make decisions that impacted a bunch of people felt the weight of it more differently, I should say, not more, but differently than some others, perhaps. And it was during that time, like I was struggling to sleep because there's so much going on and the weight of everything seems so heavy. I rarely have dreams that I remember, but I'm just going to tell you about one of the dreams I had during that time. I was asleep, kind of, you know, that very restless, fitful sleeps. And in my sleep, I was dreaming. I think I got some slides for this. I don't know if that'll help or not. And it felt like this. I was running, and this ball of stuff that was building and building. It wasn't a snowball. It was stuff that was just building and building, and it was chasing me down. And I was stumbling and trying to keep ahead of it, and I knew I couldn't, and I fell. Just as this stuff was about to just completely run me over. And right as I fell and turned to see this, I can't say I could visualize the person. Like, that was like how I was as this thing was about to overwhelm me. In the dream, it was Jesus. I don't. There was no face. There was no anything other than this knowledge that it was Jesus. And basically stepped in front of the weight and held it up. And I'm still flat on my back. And none of the weight got taken away. None of the stuff stopped, but I was able to lay there for a moment and not get run over. The stuff didn't disappear, but I was given this assurance in a dream that somehow, some way, God would make sure I wouldn't get completely crushed by it. And the rest of that night, I slept more peacefully than I had in many, many weeks. I think that's what the psalmist is inviting us into here. Not something that ignores the reality of the struggle and the chaos, but something that says there's a God who's big enough that he can hold that so you can find some rest right now. That you can lie down and sleep. You can enjoy a sense of peace even while the plates are spinning. A spiritual exercise I've done in the past, and I've worked with others to try, is writing out our own psalms. To follow a basic structure of psalms, to let out our own feelings, thoughts, thanksgiving, and worship to God. But honestly, I've never tried it with a lament like this. And so that's something I want to invite us to give a shot. If we're struggling, if we're feeling the chaos, maybe as an exercise, before you go to bed, work through writing out a psalm like this. I don't think it's a magic formula, but it's a chance to practice setting stuff into God's hands, opening us up to receive God's peace. So here's an invitation for us to give this a shot. Try including these things and putting them down before you go to bed and see if it's at all helpful. Start by naming our needs and our questions to God. You know, God, where are you? God, I need to hear you. God, I'm struggling with this. God, I thought that you would have this figured out by now. You said that you would take care of us. Name it before God. Second thing, let God hear what we really want to say to other people. Again, maybe I'm the only one who sometimes sits there and I'm like planning what I could write in an email if I sent it. Or text if you're younger than me. Or handwritten letter if you're older than me. I don't know. But instead of thinking about what they really need to hear, maybe just let out what you need to say to God. God can take it. And then sit and listen for God to speak truth and wisdom into our reality. It's amazing how often when we take the time, stuff that someone has said to us before or something that maybe we've never even thought of before comes to mind. It's like, oh, I needed to remember that. I needed to hear that. So sit down and listen for God to speak truth and wisdom into our reality and write down what we hear. And then rehearse times when God's been faithful in situations like it. I think that's a huge one. Just being like, okay, yeah, God's done this before, and I need to remember that. And then, at the end of that, as it's all gotten out, give thanks and breathe deeply of God's rest as you leave things in God's hands to do only what God can while you lay down and sleep. God wants us to be able to rest. I mean, one of the beautiful invitations Jesus gave was, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's not, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will take away every burden you have. It's, I'll give you rest. And remember, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, because there's nothing to worry about. It's don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's got its own worries. There's enough for today, right? Like, it's not that all the things are going to be gone. It's an invitation to find this rest in the middle of it, because we're in it with a God who's big enough to hold it when we can't. Let me pray for us. God, so often I hear people testify to the truth that you offer a peace that passes all understanding. And so often I try and hold on to things, thinking that I can figure it out myself. And I lay awake at night trying to solve problems that I can't figure out right now. God, give us the courage to let go of some measure of control and to trust that you are a God who has our best interest at heart, to receive that invitation to come to you and find rest, not by abdicating our responsibility, but by trusting that you're in it with us. And when we need to sleep, you can be working in ways beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. God, help us to set these things in your hands and find only in you the ability to sleep and rest. God, as we move through this season, there's bound to be a lot more chaos coming our way. God, we need you in that. You're present. Help us to turn to you, look to you, trust in you, and in that place to be able to sleep well. In Jesus' name, amen.